Chapter 41, Round 3, A Never-Ending Struggle. Family Ties. Jobs had an aching desire to make it to his son's graduation from high school in June 2010. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I made my deal with God or whatever, which was that I really wanted to see Reed graduate, and that got me through 2009, he said. As a senior, Reed looked eerily like his father at 18, with a knowing and slightly rebellious smile, intense eyes, and a shock of dark hair. But from his mother, he had inherited a sweetness and painfully sensitive empathy that his father lacked. He was demonstrably affectionate and eager to please. Whenever his father was sitting sullenly at the kitchen table and staring at the floor, which happened often when he was ailing, the only thing sure to cause his eyes to brighten was Reed walking in. Reed adored his father. Soon after I started working on this book, he dropped in to where I was staying and, as his father often did, suggested we take a walk. He told me, with an intensely earnest look, that his father was not a cold, profit-seeking businessman, but was motivated by a love of what he did and a pride in the products he was making. After Jobs was diagnosed with cancer, Reed began spending his summers working in a Stanford oncology lab doing DNA sequencing to find genetic markers for colon cancer. In one experiment, he traced how mutations go through families. One of the very few silver linings about me getting sick is that Reed's gotten to spend a lot of time studying with some very good doctors, Jobs said. His enthusiasm for it is exactly how I felt about computers when I was his age. I think the biggest innovations of the 21st century will be the intersection of biology and technology. A new era is beginning, just like the digital one was when I was his age. Reed used his cancer study as the basis for the senior report he presented to his class at Crystal Springs Upland School. As he described how he used centrifuges and dyes to sequence the DNA of tumors, his father sat in the audience beaming, along with the rest of his family. I fantasize about Reed getting a house here in Palo Alto with his family and riding his bike to work as a doctor at Stanford, Jobs said afterward. Reed had grown up fast in 2009 when it looked as if his father was going to die. He took care of his younger sisters while his parents were in Memphis, and he developed a protective paternalism. But when his father's health stabilized in the spring of 2010, he regained his playful, teasing personality. One day during dinner, he was discussing with his family where to take his girlfriend for dinner. His father suggested Il Fornaio, an elegant standard in Palo Alto, but Reed said he had been unable to get reservations. "Do you want me to try?" his father asked. Reed resisted. He wanted to handle it himself. Aaron, the somewhat shy middle child, suggested that she could outfit a teepee in their garden, and she and Eve, the younger sister, would serve them a romantic meal there. Reed stood up and hugged her. He would take her up on that some other time, he promised. One Saturday, Reed was one of the four contestants on his school's Quiz Kids team, competing on a local TV station. The family, minus Eve, who was in a horse show, came to cheer him on. As the television crew bumbled around getting ready, his father tried to keep his impatience in check and remain inconspicuous among the parents sitting in the rows of folding chairs. But he was clearly recognizable in his trademark jeans and black turtleneck, and one woman pulled up a chair right next to him and started to take his picture. Without looking at her, he stood up and moved to the other end of the row. When Reed came on the set, his nameplate identified him as Reed Powell. The host asked the students what they wanted to be when they grew up. "A cancer researcher," Reed answered. Jobs drove his two-seat Mercedes SL55, taking Reed, while his wife followed in her own car with Aaron. On the way home, she asked Aaron why she thought her father refused to have a license plate on his car. "To be a rebel," she answered. I later put the question to Jobs. "Because people follow me sometimes, and if I have a license plate, they can track down where I live," he replied. "But that's kind of getting obsolete now with Google Maps, so I guess, really, it's just because I don't." During Reed's graduation ceremony, his father sent me an email from his iPhone that simply exulted, "Today is one of my happiest days. Reed is graduating from high school, right now, and against all odds, I am here." That night, there was a party at their house with close friends and family. Reed danced with every member of his family, including his father. Later, Jobs took his son out to the barn-like storage shed to offer him one of his two bicycles, which he wouldn't be riding again. Reed joked that the Italian one looked a bit too gay, so Jobs told him to take the solid 8-speed next to it. When Reed said he would be indebted, Jobs answered, "You don't need to be indebted, because you have my DNA." A few days later, Toy Story 3 opened. Jobs had nurtured this Pixar trilogy from the beginning, and the final installment was about the emotion surrounding the departure of Andy for college. "I wish I could always be with you," Andy's mother says. "You always will be," he replies. Jobs' relationship with his two younger daughters was somewhat more distant. He paid less attention to Aaron, who was quiet, introspective, and seemed not to know exactly how to handle him, especially when he was emitting wounding barbs. She was a poised and attractive young woman with a personal sensitivity more mature than her father's. She thought that she might want to be an architect, perhaps because of her father's interest in the field, and she had a good sense of design. But when her father was showing Reed the drawings for the new Apple campus, she sat on the other side of the kitchen, and it seemed not to occur to him to call her over as well. Her big hope that spring of 2010 was that her father would take her to the Oscars. She loved the movies. Even more, she wanted to fly with her father on his private plane and walk up the red carpet with him. Powell was quite willing to forego the trip and tried to talk her husband into taking Aaron, but he dismissed the idea. At one point, as I was finishing this book, Powell told me that Aaron wanted to give me an interview. It's not something that I would have requested, since she was then just turning 16, but I agreed. The point Aaron emphasized was that she understood why her father was not always attentive, and she accepted that. He does his best to be both a father and the CEO of Apple, and he juggles those pretty well, she said. Sometimes I wish I had more of his attention, but I know the work he's doing is very important, and I think it's really cool, so I'm fine. I don't really need more attention. Jobs had promised to take each of his children on a trip of their choice when they became teenagers. Reed chose to go to Kyoto, knowing how much his father was entranced by the Zen calm of that beautiful city. Not surprisingly, when Aaron turned 13 in 2008, she chose Kyoto as well. Her father's illness caused him to cancel the trip, so he promised to take her in 2010 when he was better. But that June, he decided he didn't want to go. Aaron was crestfallen but didn't protest. Instead, her mother took her to France with family friends, and they rescheduled the Kyoto trip for July. Powell worried that her husband would again cancel, so she was thrilled when the whole family took off in early July for Kona Village, Hawaii, which was the first leg of the trip. But in Hawaii, Jobs developed a bad toothache, which he ignored, as if he could will the cavity away. The tooth collapsed and had to be fixed. Then the iPhone 4 antenna crisis hit, and he decided to rush back to Cupertino, taking Reed with him. Powell and Aaron stayed in Hawaii, hoping that Jobs would return and continue with the plans to take them to Kyoto. To their relief and mild surprise, Jobs actually did return to Hawaii after his press conference to pick them up and take them to Japan. "It's a miracle," Powell told a friend. While Reed took care of Eve back in Palo Alto, Erin and her parents stayed at the Tawarea Ryokan, an inn of sublime simplicity that Jobs loved. "It was fantastic," Erin recalled. 20 years earlier, Jobs had taken Erin's half-sister, Lisa Brennan Jobs, to Japan when she was about the same age. Among her strongest memories was sharing with him delightful meals and watching him, usually such a picky eater, savor unagi, sushi, and other delicacies. Seeing him take joy in eating made Lisa feel relaxed with him for the first time. Erin recalled a similar experience. "Dad knew where he wanted to go to lunch every day. He told me he knew an incredible soba shop, and he took me there. And it was so good that it's been hard to ever eat soba again, because nothing comes close." They also found a tiny neighborhood sushi restaurant, and Jobs tagged it on his iPhone as, "Best sushi I've ever had." Erin agreed. They also visited Kyoto's famous Zen Buddhist temples. The one Erin loved most was Saihoji, known as the Moss Temple because of its golden pond surrounded by gardens featuring more than 100 varieties of moss. Erin was really, really happy, which was deeply gratifying and helped improve her relationship with her father, Powell recalled. She deserved that. Their younger daughter, Eve, was quite a different story. She was spunky, self-assured, and in no way intimidated by her father. Her passion was horseback riding, and she became determined to make it to the Olympics. When a coach told her how much work it would require, she replied, "Tell me exactly what I need to do. I will do it." He did, and she began diligently following the program. Eve was an expert at the difficult task of pinning her father down. She often called his assistant at work directly to make sure something got put on his calendar. She was also pretty good as a negotiator. One weekend in 2010, when the family was planning a trip, Erin wanted to delay the departure by half a day, but she was afraid to ask her father. Eve, then 12, volunteered to take on the task, and at dinner, she laid out the case to her father as if she were a lawyer before the Supreme Court. Jobs cut her off. "No, I don't think I want to," but it was clear that he was more amused than annoyed. Later that evening, Eve sat down with her mother and deconstructed the various ways that she could have made her case better. Jobs came to appreciate her spirit and see a lot of himself in her. "She's a pistol and has the strongest will of any kid I've ever met," he said. "It's like payback." He had a deep understanding of her personality, perhaps because it bore some resemblance to his. "Eve is more sensitive than a lot of people think," he explained. "She's so smart that she can roll over people a bit, so that means she can alienate people and she finds herself alone. She's in the process of learning how to be who she is, but tempers it around the edges so that she can have the friends that she needs." Jobs's relationship with his wife was sometimes complicated, but always loyal. Savvy and compassionate, Laureen Powell was a stabilizing influence and an example of his ability to compensate for some of his selfish impulses by surrounding himself with strong-willed and sensible people. She weighed in quietly on business issues, firmly on family concerns, and fiercely on medical matters. Early in their marriage, she co-founded and launched College Track, a national after-school program that helps disadvantaged kids graduate from high school and get into college. Since then, she had become a leading force in the education reform movement. Jobs professed an admiration for his wife's work. What she's done with College Track really impresses me. But he tended to be generally dismissive of philanthropic endeavors and never visited her after-school centers. In February 2010, Jobs celebrated his 55th birthday with just his family. The kitchen was decorated with streamers and balloons, and his kids gave him a red velvet toy crown, which he wore. Now that he had recovered from a grueling year of health problems, Powell hoped that he would become more attentive to his family. But for the most part, he resumed his focus on his work. "I think it was hard on the family, especially the girls," she told me. "After 2 years of him being ill, he finally gets a little better, and they expected he would focus a bit on them, but he didn't." She wanted to make sure, she said, that both sides of his personality were reflected in this book and put into context. Like many great men whose gifts are extraordinary, he's not extraordinary in every realm, she said. He doesn't have social graces, such as putting himself in other people's shoes, but he cares deeply about empowering humankind, the advancement of humankind, and putting the right tools in their hands.